All right, 1 Chronicles 29. Thought I was hearing music in my head. I didn't know if I was going to be raptured or what. All right. So this is the end of David's life. And verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, you know, look at verse 28, and there's David. You might not think that somebody who had gotten entangled with Bathsheba and Uriah the way he did, the guy that cost Israel 70,000 souls over having Israel numbered, you wouldn't think that that would be his epitaph, that he died of a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. No negative word there, amen? Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer and the book of Nathan the prophet. You don't have that book in your Bible. It shows that the Lord inspired other books than the ones that you have. Now what that means is that you have the books that you're supposed to have, but the Lord didn't just speak just these words. He spoke through other prophets at other times, some not written down probably, but also in the book of Gad the seer. Among those things, by the way, that were written was, with all his reign and his might and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we come to the end of a great man's life. I know that he made his message, Lord, and all those things, but so have we. And we're glad that a story that got messed up in the middle can end right. And that's the case with most of us. We pray that you would, Lord, minister to us this morning. Maybe we can get some light on some little thing here that we haven't seen before. Maybe we be reminded of things that we know already, but that we should be constantly put in reminiscence of. We ask if somebody here is lost that you'd please deal with them about their need for a Savior. But encourage Christians, Father. Help them to see that whatever they're going through, the only real answer is to get back up and go on. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was Bible reading this week as normal, and I stumbled across this phrase and this passage, and it lodged in my mind. And so I jotted it down as a note in a little notebook that I keep for sermons and stuff, and kind of worked with it a little bit and wrote a couple things down and kind of went on. And so yesterday morning rolls around, and I'm sitting at my desk, and I had two or three different ideas and couldn't figure out. I was locked down on what I should preach today and all that kind of thing. About that time, Jeff Peterson emailed me. He said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, don't forget to let folks know that, you know, we're going to have to roll the clocks forward this morning." And bam, just like that, I knew what I was supposed to preach. So if you don't like the sermon this morning, that bald guy right there, not this bald guy here, is a problem. Just so you know. But what I had caught my mind, my eye, and got lodged in my mind, verse 30, with all his reign, this is talking about all the things that Samuel, Nathan, Gad wrote, which with all his reign and his might and the times that went over him. And that phrase, I'd never really paid much attention to the phrase before, but the times that went over him, that's what caught in my mind. And that's a unique phrase to the Bible. It's the only time it occurs. And you know that I believe the books of the Bible, the Lord puts the words of the Bible in it the way He wants them, so it means something. Now, the idea seems to be that I think of a shallow, quick-moving stream, you know, with a rock in it. And David's like the rock, and meanwhile the stream rolls over him, passes over him. It says that those times went over him. And they didn't sweep him away. They didn't sweep him down the stream further. But, you know, as a rock, you would have seen the hump in the water, but maybe that was all you would have seen. But it didn't move him. They went over him. And I believe that's kind of a thought for what time does to us. We abide through time and times, by the way, for 70 or 80 years, and they pass over us. We're going to sing a song here a little bit later, and we sing it often. A time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. And so for 70 or 80 years, the times roll over you. Now, I have some backup on that. I'm not going to take you there this morning, but Daniel 4, where Nebuchadnezzar becomes essentially like a beast of the field for seven times. And four times in that passage, it says that those seven times went over him. Now, people argue about whether those times were days or weeks or months or years. Personally, I think it was probably years, but I could be wrong. But what is very plain is that those times passed over him. And we talk about the passage of time. So I want to preach to you this morning on the times that went over him. That's the phrase in the Word of God there. And y'all all lost a real quick hour yesterday. As you get older, time goes over you faster and faster, doesn't it? I mean, y'all just had babies yesterday. Here they are, some of them nearly a year old. And it still seems like yesterday, and some of them are 3 or 4 years old, right? Time has a way of going over you, doesn't it? Well, you lost a real quick hour yesterday, or this morning, whenever it was you rolled your clock forward. I rolled mine forward at 1 o'clock because it's depressing to me to roll it forward at night. So, there's something wrong about going to bed at 10 and it being 11 o'clock. So, I rolled it forward at 12, so it's 1 o'clock, and so I get eased into it a little more. I just have to take change slowly, okay? But the passage of time. And so what I picture here is, if it were possible, here's David, and you start with him as a young man, a young shepherd boy, and if it were possible for him to go stand in front of the same wall or the same tree, the same place, the same light, every day and every night, for all the days and nights of his life, somebody takes a snapshot, so that in the end you have all 80 or so of his years right there where you can put them on a fast-forward time-lapse. And so it's like a strobe light where you see light, night, day, night, day, night, day, night, you know, like that. But all 70 years it flows through in a minute or two of time. We would have the technology to do that now, and they didn't then. And I think about how that might look, and I think about David, you know, that strobe light type effect of day, night, you know, where you see him gradually change. He goes from a teenage youth up through a fuller bodied and muscular man, a warrior, and then as he gets older, maybe he puts on a little more flesh, but as time progresses, he has some wrinkles that develop, and the hair gets a little grayer, and the laugh lines get a little clearer, and then, you know, as he gets older, then he begins to shrink a little bit, the musculature fades, and he begins to kind of draw up a little bit more and that kind of stuff. And so by the end of his days, there he is still with all this time that's gone over him. It's passed over him, and there he is. And what's recognized there is his walk with God. I mean, David walked with God from his youth. He was already a man of war in his youth. He'd already taken on that bear and already taken on that lion, right? And he was, as the youngest man in Saul's army, he was still much loved and much looked up to as a mighty man of valor. And so those times would have been something to see. We all know David's transgressions, and we all know that, you know, his deep spirituality at the same time, and, you know, his transgressions were atrocious. When you stop and consider the mental calisthenics that went into, you know, his sin with Bathsheba, then the subsequent murder of Uriah the Hittite and all that went into that, you know, it's a pretty atrocious thing, but at the same time, you know, his walk with God was, we know, to be deeply admirable. One thing about David, he never stayed wrong. He always got right. That's not what some people do, right? And so in this time sequence, this strobe photography, this time-lapse thing, you see him going through as you're passing, as he gets older, these terrible messes, these terrible wrecks of things, leaving all kinds of wreckage behind him, relationships, you know, people dead, 70,000 Israelites killed at one time, And yet emerging after all these times have gone over him, he still winds up the sweet psalmist of Israel. He still winds up the anointed of the God of Jacob. He still winds up the man after God's own heart, and we still remember him that way in spite of the fact that we remember some of his sins. And the times that went over him, though, were not just days and weeks and months and years. No, the times are connected to other things in the Word of God. And so I wonder, you know, as you look at David, he's gone through those things, I wonder when times cease to go over you, what will your portrait be? You know, like I said, the strobe light, the time lapse, night, day, night, day, night, day, for 70 years run through in a couple minutes on a flashpoint where you're seeing the guy before you standing in the same position against the same wall or the same tree or whatever, age gradually, day by day, for, you know, over 2 or 3 minutes for 80 years. And I wonder, at the end of its days, David had all those bruises and the devil had gotten his licks in, that's for sure, and he'd had defeats. But at the end of his days, he's still the anointed of the God of Jacob. He's still the man after God's own heart. He's still honored as a royal king, well worthy of your admiration in his walk with God. And I wonder how some of us are going to wind up, what our portrait's going to look like. Amen? I want to talk to you about the times that went over him. And those times in the Bible are connected with other things than just night, day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. Those times are connected, first of all, with prophetic events. For instance, you know Jesus Christ's famous statements about the disciples knowing the times and seasons, right? He's talking about prophetic developments. He talked about the signs of the times. Jesus Christ did. Ezekiel prophesied of times afar off, talking about the future. Paul talked about the latter times and the last days and the last times. In fact, 1 John talks about the last time, the times before appointed, perilous times, the times of refreshing, the times of restitution of all things. And by the time you get done with it, you realize that sometimes when the Lord's thinking about times, He's thinking about prophetic events that come and go, that swing past. And David lived through some of those things. David was a prophet. David was the subject of prophecy. And on top of it, David was, of course, the greatest, one of the great types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And so, when the times that went over him, the times that went over him were not just weeks and months and days and years. The times that went over him were prophetic times. He lived through various things. And prophesied various things and experienced various things prophetically. I just want to say that's the case with you. Can you stop and think about it? Here is David, the type of Christ. And yet, as we all know, David has multiple wives. It's not Christ's lot. Committed adultery. Committed conspiracy, anyway, to commit murder. He had prodigal sons. He made some real decisive errors. And yet at the end of his days, having lived through those prophetic times, here he is, a type of Christ, there he stands, royal, honored by God, beloved. I wonder how you'll wind up. Say, you live in prophetic times too. Imagine David. Imagine the pressure that might have been brought to bear, him being a type of Christ, prophesying some of the future, the way he prophesied some of the future in Psalms. Do you think the devil might have been interested in him? And you think the devil might have had his hand in some of the mess-ups that David was involved with? We'll talk about that more in a second. Right now we're talking about prophecy, but how his failures must have exerted tremendous pressures on him. Yet at the end of his years, he was able to look back, and the psalm and the writer of 1 Chronicles says the times just went over him. He was like the rock in the stream, and what you saw was a hump in the stream, but the rock never moved. It never got swept away. time flowed over him. At the end of his days, he stood there, the beloved of God, the anointed of the King of Jacob. Amen. Oh, that we should fare so well. Oh, that we, with all of our gaffes and mess-ups and failures, should still, having gotten up again and again, still be able to stand at the end of our days, and the Bible to say about us that the times went over him. And not just that, but they lived through prophetic times. Those prophetic times went over him. And I'd like to just mention that for a minute for you, because we live in prophetic times. Now, I've preached about this recently. I get that. I know that. But I want you to know that you're not just getting older with time sweeping over you, but what you're living through is prophetic time passing over you too. It's important that you remain the rock in the stream and it passes over you instead of sweeps you away. I want to say, for as long as you've been alive, you've lived in the last times. It goes back a very long time. The last days could have been when Christ was here. But as you know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again. The Jews rejected him and rejected Elijah, the prophet, and John the Baptist. And there are some things that could have been, but they're not until yet the future. But the future is very near now. But for your entire life and before you, you've lived in prophetic times. These are the last days. These are the prophetic times. These are the perilous times. We are the bride of Christ. That, you know, the fact that David was a type of Christ himself must have brought extreme pressure on him. But the fact that you're the bride of Christ must bring extreme pressure on you. I mean, who does the devil want to mess up? He wants to mess up Israel. That's God's bride. You think the devil doesn't want to mess you up, Christ's bride? You see, I'm saying that you're living through those prophetic times at the end of your days. Oh, that it may be said with regard to those prophetic times, the times went over it. Didn't get swept away, didn't get carried away, didn't get worn down. They just went over him like swift water over a rock, and at the end of 80 years, there the rock still is. Right? You live in the last moments before the next event that sets in motion these last prophetic times. Rapture's next stop. It can be any day. It can be any time. There's no reason not today. But you live in that time. You are here. You're in the window. I don't know how long this goes, but you're in the window now. And that time-lapse portrait, once again, here you've been. I've experienced, of course, church members, but also schoolmates, other Christians that I've known. And if you put them in that time-lapse, night-day thing, maybe they were saved 10 years or 20, but if you would have watched that time-lapse, they would have crumpled under the pressure and just disappeared from the picture because they're not in the saddle anymore and they're not in the fight. And when it's all said and done, they're going to be saved. Praise God for that. But the times will not have gone over them. The times will have swept them away. David bore up in the end. And I appreciated the testimony this morning because somebody, sleeping on a bridge after getting hit real hard, got back up and put things right, you know? And you can't really weigh the importance of doing that no matter what the circumstances. And I don't care how bad you've messed up either. We didn't, we'll talk about David's sins a little bit later, but boy, David, you're not a worse sinner than David was. And David got back up in the end of his days. There he stood, times having gone over him. And he's what? The sweet psalmist of Israel. The anointed of the King of Jacob. That's a blessing. I want to say something else here. I'll take you over to a couple places real fast. Let me have you go and turn to Daniel chapter 7 real fast. I have something I want to show you there. We're talking about how the times went over David, and they did. Those times were, first of all, prophetic times. But I wanted to show you a couple of examples here. Look in Daniel chapter 7. And if you will, go down to verse 25. And this is the prophecy regarding the fourth beast in verse 23, the fourth kingdom. 10 horns, 10 kings. This one that speaks great words is the Antichrist, right? Verse 25. And he, that's the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now, there's lots in the verse to expound. I'm not going to expound it all. But again, verse 25, he thinks, the Antichrist thinks to change times and laws. Now, I know that's prophetic, but can you see the Antichrist is Satan incarnate, and he thinks to change. That's spiritual import. That's spiritual power. Take your Bibles back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18 real fast. Deuteronomy 18. And go down to verse 10. The heart of the law, and the Lord is laying out some things that the children of Israel are not to do, and of course you shouldn't either. But notice verse 10, there shall not be found among you, Israel, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, you see there in the middle of all those things, the observer of times. Now, that's going to be, plainly the connection is sinister spiritually, right? Just like the Antichrist wanting to change times is sinister spiritually. And this is connected with wizardry and necromancy and witchcraft and those sort of things. It would involve, you know, astrology, the lining up of the stars, and he's an observer of times. It says down in verse 14, if you would, just to confirm this, for these nations, talking about the heathen, which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Okay, these are observers of times. It's interesting that Manasseh, one of the worst kings Israel ever had, not only sacrificed his children in the fire, but he was an observer of times. It's sinister spiritually. So these times, the way the Bible uses times at times, has to do with spiritual forces, sinister spiritual forces. David's a type of Christ. He's a prophet. He's beloved of God and all those things, but plainly, the devil is real interested in David. In fact, in 1 Chronicles 21, you don't have to go there, the Bible says that Satan stood up against David and moved him to number Israel. And you'll remember that cost David 70,000 of his own people in the pestilence that followed. But Satan stood. Now, I don't have a long list of things that we know that Satan did as far as Satan's influences and interests in David's life, but you can be sure that he was there, and you can be sure that, you know, like following David's life through is like following a tornado, because there was an awful lot of trash left behind. There's an awful lot of devastation. There were people's lives destroyed. His sons were in part destroyed because of him. Marriages destroyed. I think about poor old Falti, who Michael wound up marrying after she had married David, but Saul took her away, so she married somebody else. Well, David sent to her later and took her, and poor old Falti's left without a wife. He didn't do anything wrong. So David destroyed his life. You say, what's the point? Well, sinister spiritual forces. You follow David's life through and you find wreckage, devastation. And yet, in the end, there stands David. And he's bruised, but not beaten. And he was wrong, but he got right. He was busted and broken and healed up and let the Lord do something for him. David left his mark. The devil left his marks on David, but there stands David in the end of his days, and he's scarred, and he's got streaks of tears down his cheeks, but he's still standing. And the times went over him; they didn't sweep him away. I'm saying this to say you're going to fail. In fact, you have. And what's important to do is get up and go on. You know, how are you doing? I've been saved 49 years. I've learned in that 49 years that the devil gets his licks in. And I can't seem to be aware enough all the time to catch him in everything he's doing. Maybe you've been saved a year or two or five or 15 or 25. But haven't you learned in that time that the devil gets his licks in and that you're not always victorious? And it's not like all the chick comics say. I'm for chick comics, but everybody's a hero. Everybody's ripped when they take their shirt off, you know. It's just really good. But that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. Talking about spiritual forces. Those times are connected with spiritual forces, not just prophetic, but spiritual. How go the times over you? You're warned that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, and the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I don't have a problem probably taking you to doorsteps of folks that have followed seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. I think I can take you to addresses of folks that have been devoured. Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 1 John says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, David, at the end of his days, had not only been under prophetic pressure, but he had been under spiritual pressure too by Lord knows how many ways. The devil himself at times, evil spirits, familiar spirits, all the things that came to pass, and yet there he stands at the end of his days, is complete. The anointed of the God of Jacob, the man after God's own heart, because the times didn't sweep him away. The times went over him and flowed on. And he only withstood 70 or 80 years, the amount of time that God gave him. But God was through with him, and David got to stand, and the Lord said those times went over him. How will it be for you? I think I know some folks that have gotten swept away. Now, maybe you haven't. I'm glad for that. So don't. I want to give you another application here real quick. Said the times went over him. Well, those are prophetic times in the Bible for sure in David's life. And those are spiritual forces. That much is true. Turn, if you will, to Esther. Below the book of Esther. And notice how the times were used here. You know in Esther chapter 1 that Vashti refuses to come and in the presence of the king and his ambassador, she refuses to come and show them her beauty. Some have preached various things about that. I don't see anything wrong with what he wanted her to do. And yet she refused. And so, verse 12, Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, and then it's a long parenthesis, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Sethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcina, and Mermukin, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and that sat at first in the kingdom. And so he's asking these guys what to do. But it said of those guys that they knew the times. Now, You can phrase it how you like, but these guys seem to have their fingers on the pulse of the kingdom, of what folks were thinking throughout the provinces and so on and so forth. And so when this event happened, the king turns and says, okay, what shall we do? Because they knew the times. Now, what you're talking about there, I think, is, again, just having, you know, your finger on the pulse of something, kind of kingdom events, but for us it could be world events or news events or just occurrences that happen, you know, in our country and in the world, the rise and fall of various cultures in our lifetimes. There are countries that have come and gone, disappeared and come. It's stuff like that. It's nations and kingdoms. I believe in that respect that sometimes in the latter days perilous times shall come. I don't think it's all spiritual. I think the perilous times involves a lot of different things. Sometimes it's just the way the world is. And so I'm talking about the world's pressures. David lived through the time that he was in Saul's household and with Saul flinging spears all over the place. David, of course, saw the change of the kingdom and where the kingdom became gradually his. And then he saw after that, with sin with Bathsheba, the rise of Absalom. And he abdicated the throne and some things happened, came and went. David saw various occasions of pestilence and drought and famine during his days. David was a man of war. And so he saw wars and he saw battles. These are events in life. David had an economy. There were cares of the palace and cares of the kingdom and therefore the cares of the world. And so it's all the things that, you know, you and I deal with, hot water heaters and car radiators and stuff like that. David dealt with culture and the larger aspects of the kingdom as well as his own house. And so when it's all said and done, after all the things that happen, and after all the bad things that happen, David comes to the end of his days and the Bible says that the times went over him. Even those things that happened in his kingdom, all those horrible things that came to pass, they didn't sweep him away. He was the rock in the stream and those things rolled over him, but it didn't sweep him away. That's world events. I wonder, you know, you live in the world and hopefully we use the world as not abusing it, right? It's one thing to watch a Vikings game. It's another thing to build your life around them winning the Super Bowl. Right? But you think about world affairs, and you think about world affairs and how they've changed life in this world. Think about the World War I generation, who then proceeded into the Great Depression, who then proceeded and gave way to the World War II generation, and who then gave way and proceeded into the Korean War generation, who then gave way and proceeded into the Vietnam War generation. And communism somewhere rose in there, and the 60s, and the nuclear age, and the Cold War. Y2K piped up somewhere around 2000. And folks were scared and all that stuff, and it affected folks' lives, but there was mad cow disease and Ebola and the West Nile virus and all those things that came and went. And, you know, you have the abortion rights movement and the civil rights movement and the women's rights movement. Then you had the baby boomers, Generation X, and Generation Y, which is the millennials, and then Generation Z. And we don't even know what they're going to be about yet. I'm only worried because they're being raised by millennials. I'm just kidding. The Obama presidency, the Trump presidency, the environmentalist wackos, the homosexual rights era, which has yielded sway to the LGBTXYZ number sign percentage points generation. And God knows where that's going to wind up. But that's just it. You come to the end of your days, how will you have fared? David, having lived through those things that happened in the world, at the end of his days, those times went over him. They didn't sweep him away. I wonder how you will fare in the times that sweep over you. I wonder if they'll sweep over you, or I wonder if they'll carry you away. I know we say that folks get carried away, right? I know some folks that once in a while get carried away with stuff. You've got to be careful. You've got to let the times flow over you instead of carry you away, right? I think about the greatest generation, that generation of men and women supported them from this side where there was genuine sacrifice. Those men stormed Normandy Beach and Omaha Beach and then marched across under dire conditions off France and Germany and into Poland to free those concentration camp victims. And they saw all kinds of things, and then they died and went to hell. I mean, the times didn't just roll over them. They swept them away. They died and went to hell. Right? A lot of them. The ones that did. The Vietnam generation. And some have come through it okay. Others you still see once in a while sitting at a stoplight with a can, begging money. Swept away with it. Can't think about it. The psychedelic drug generation, a lot of them are swept away with it. The hippie generation came and went. We are now, you know, the free love Woodstock generation came and went. But it swept many away. You currently live in the narcissism generation. Oh, believe me, people are getting swept away. You live in the phobia generation where everything's a scare. I was running the percentages the other day, and in the 2016-2017 flu year, there were 18,000 deaths in America in 2016 and 17. Well, that's out of 350 million people. Just do the math sometime. Just go put 18,000 over, divide by 35 million. And when you get that number divided, then you multiply by 100 to get the percentage. There's still a bunch of zeros in front of the percentage. It's a statistic that's dismissible. And yet, coronavirus, oh goodness, we have 115 people. Shut up! There are 350 million people in this country. Your statistics, you're better off getting the coronavirus than getting in your car and going home. You're more likely to die going home in your car than getting the coronavirus. Shut up! Quit listening to them. And you're living in a generation that's used to, you know, they're a herd. And every time somebody bangs a can lid, they run. As long as they can run, as far as they can run, and then they recover, and somebody comes along and bangs the car, and whoom! That's all they do. And you know what? They're getting swept away. How will you come through these times? Many will be buried and just go to hell. They've been a herd of cattle, been a part of a herd all their lives. Never anything else. I'd like to say lastly, we've talked about prophetic events. Those times represent that. It's not just days and months and years. It also represents spiritual forces. It represents prophetic forces, prophetic events. It represents world pressures and the times that we just live in the world, just the way things are. Then I'd like to say lastly, and there's no singular verse for it, that it also represents, it's represented by personal episodes. Now by personal episodes, I just say that you go back and meet up with a couple of old high school buddies, and you know what somebody's going to say eventually? Hey, you remember that time? That time. Hey, you remember the times that we... See, they said it. They used the word times. Now I wonder if those times will flow over you. They'll just pass over you. because those are life experiences. You know, those are occurrences. For instance, there was the time, and David could remember it well, that he was watching the sheep, and I don't know that he took them on at the same time, but apparently it was two different incidents where one time he takes on a bear and kills it, and one time he takes on a lion and kills it. I'd remember that. Hey, remember that time? Yes, sir, I sure do. That's a good thing. Hey, remember the time that Samuel came down the road and your daddy sent for you out in the field after all the other brothers had been rejected, and Samuel saw you and said, "That's the guy. That's the guy." Remember that? Remember that time? I remember that time. Right? Remember the time you headed down the road and going to take some cheese and bread to your brethren in the army, and as you got near the battlefield, you heard this bellowing out in the center of this plain, and this big, gigantic, hairy, body odor dude is standing out there blaspheming God. Remember taking that sling and those five stones? Remember that? I remember. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Remember that time. So we talk like that way all the time. But it's personal experiences, it's occurrences, it's things that happen. Those times, those months in Saul's house. I don't know about you, but I would have slept pretty light in Saul's house. If it were me, I probably wouldn't have gotten sleep for the entire time that I was there. Because Saul had this thing about sharp, pointy objects. Right? Hey, remember that time that I wanted to marry Saul's daughter, and he said if you went and killed 100 Philistines and proved it, you could marry her. And instead you went and killed 200 Philistines and proved it. Now, I remember that time. I remember that time. Well, remember those long years, you know, when you'd been anointed king and Saul was wicked and possessed by an evil spirit, and you kept hanging around, and eventually you were driven out so that you were off-caste and a vagabond and didn't have a place to live, and Saul hated you and was always hunting you, sending armies and squads out after you. Remember that? Remember that went on for years and years and years? Remember that? Yeah, I remember that time. Right? You remember the time when, after you were king and after all was well, and maybe it was your salvation, maybe for us it's our salvation, and the blessings of God flowed, and you're king now, and it seems like all is well. When you saw that woman bathing that night, you made a bad decision. Remember that time? Yeah, I remember that. You remember then that when 2 months later she shows up and says, we got a problem. You said, well, I'll take care of it. Remember how you tried to take care of it? Yeah, I remember that. Right? Be enough to destroy most men. It'd be pretty hard to, you people here, liberals, use the term, but you know, be hard to forgive yourself after that if you got a conscience. And it's easy to see how that would sweep a man who was supposed to be what David was away, but it didn't. I remember the time that you had decided you were going to number Israel, and Joab said, "Don't do it, please don't do it," and you did it anyway. And so you went and numbered Israel. And the prophet shows up and says, I'll give you a choice, but a bunch of people are going to die. You say, well, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. And so there's pestilence that fell. And folks, 70,000 people died because of David's disobedience. Right? And yet, out of that came the knowledge of where the house of God was going to be. It wound up being Araunah's threshing floor where God accepted David's sacrifice and stopped the plague. And then he said, and that's going to be where the house of God is. I mean, you went through something for long enough to see that God worked something positive out of you being a fool. See, a lot of folks wouldn't have gotten to that point. A lot of folks would have just been swept away by the times. But David always hung in there. And David always got right. David always repented. He always wound up. If he was hard-hearted at one moment, he was always tender-hearted the next. And the Lord was always able to get to him. And David never killed a prophet. One thing about it, when the preacher came by to talk to David, David always listened. Right? How will the times treat you? You live in prophetic times, under spiritual pressure. You live in the world that's always scrolling banners and shouting epithets at you and telling you you should run and be scared and panic and quit and go away and whatever else. How will you, the times that you've been the fool, the personal events that you remember, the time that you were embittered, the time you were wronged, all those times that you sinned and messed up and now you don't see how you can get back up. I wonder when it's all said and done if you'll be able to stand like David and the times having gone over him instead of sweeping him away. You know? One day. Because one day, there'll be time no longer. After this next step, for us, even for the 1,000 years, you might as well just for us discount time. Because for us, it's time no longer. Now for somebody that's lost, there's a time no longer too. Go to a place called hell and there's no hands on the clock. And there's no pages on the calendar. There are no dates written in the little squares. It just bleeds on. Time stops. And it's just eternal. There's no time. So David steps up in his last breath and stands, and the Lord said, yep, the times went over him. And the times need to go over you. You lost an hour last night, real fast. But don't it seem like you're getting old faster? Isn't that weird how that works? Saved 49 years? Me? You kidding? Me with grandchildren that are 8 years old? Me? This good-looking young fella? Head full of hair, running 5 miles a day? What in the world happened? Time goes over you. And the time's getting close now where, for us, there'll be no more time. So be like David, where the time went over him, didn't sweep him away. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you this morning for